We'll sing one more, number 32, Majesty. Let's lift our voices and praise Him with all of our hearts. Good morning. Good to see everybody here today. Another beautiful Sunday morning, the end of February. We praise the Lord for that. And a special welcome to the family here with J.R. and Chandra Van Zyl for Rylin's baptism this morning. So welcome to those of you who are visiting with us. Some other announcements. We have about 14 couples that signed up for the marriage seminar this afternoon and evening. I've had two couples cancel out because of sickness. So if you're thinking, oh, I really wanted to do that, but I didn't sign up, then let Ann or I know and you can come. It's really good. Ann and I have watched the DVDs. They're just very good. So I think you'll enjoy it. That's today. Chancel Choir, we're hoping to sing for Maundy Thursday, and it doesn't say this in the announcement. It does say that. But we're going to be practicing after church on Sundays. So this coming Sunday, March 1st, will be our first practice. We need lots of voices. So hopefully you will join us for that. In a moment, Ann will have an announcement. But let me share this. This Wednesday night is Ash Wednesday. Starts the Lenten season. We have church at 7 o'clock. Please remember that. Our high schoolers will be helping with a large part of the service. They're going to be singing and several of them having a part. Because we have so many high schoolers in the church, which is wonderful, I've divided them between this Wednesday night and then the month from this Wednesday, March 25th, as to when they have a speaking part in the service. So just so you're aware of that. There's a schedule in here also for the Menno Olivet Easter Cantata, and we are the host church this year for that. It's on the insert. First practice will be this Friday night over at Olivet, and those practices are at 7:30. So, Ann, you want to say yours real quick?
Yes. So we're going to be starting the Good News Club again, and it's going to be in March. There are posters around, and if you have children that are in kindergarten up through fifth grade, the fifth graders this year are going to actually be the helpers with the kindergarten kids. So that you still need to sign them up, and you can do that in the social hall. The theme was going to be who we are in Christ. Looking at that from a child's perspective. And we also need more helpers. We have some teachers that can be there two of the dates, but not four. So the sign-up sheet is out in the narthex. We take you even for one date if you could help. And thank you all.
Okay, thanks, Ann. And I wanted, before we pray, I wanted to read a thank you that came from our conference minister to the church, Ron Hamilton. He says this: thank you for your financial contributions to the four C's in the past year. Your gifts have helped our ministry move forward to encourage and develop our pastors and churches. We continue to develop our ministry priorities of church development, church multiplication, and conference care. In the past year of 2019, we have been blessed to appoint four regional pastors to support our members and churches across the nation. We are excited to see how God uses our pastors and churches to make a kingdom impact in Jesus' name. I'm praying for the ministry of Salem Reformed Church. In Christ, Ron Hamilton. And so, those of you that were here the Sunday we were gone, you got to meet our regional pastor, Ray DeLaurier. So, let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come, as always, before your throne, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus, you tell us we can come with confidence before your throne to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in times of need. We can come with our hearts wide open to praise you and worship you, the Most High God, the Creator of the universe, our Creator, Father. You breathed into each of us the breath of life as you knit us together in our mother's wombs. And soon we will sing of your holiness and your greatness. And we sing as we say that early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. And so, Lord, it's with great joy that we're here this morning. And we do gather in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we ask, Father, for your power and your presence to move mightily among us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand together as we sing our opening hymn. It's number 3 in the hymnals, or the words will be on the screen. Holy, holy, holy.
Of sinful man, thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside me. Perfect in power, in love, in purity. Holy, 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 Lord. Thy word shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Amen. Amen. Please greet those around you before you're seated. Here this morning. I guess I'll start out with a joy here. Carrie Dyke has opened a bakery in Yankton called Not Yet. I saw the picture of all the beautiful front of the building. When is it opening? 2 or 3 weeks? I'm sorry. Well, there's a heads up. Jump the gun. Alan, you didn't tell me that. It's okay. It's down by the riverfront event center. You can see this Carrie's, whatever it's called. Cupcakes and bakery. Yes. Okay. Well, now you got a forewarning. Okay. Also, Les Melhoff, Kathy had texted this morning, and he's just been improving. He's able to walk unassisted now. Had the clearance for that. Speech, his words are limited, but he's walking around and he's still got his big old smile that he has always had. They're living in Sioux Falls most of the time now, but she wanted to say thanks to the congregation for your prayers and cards through all of this, the challenges. Continued prayers for Lee and Pat Palmerville. Okay. To do that. Okay. Had a little better day yesterday. Was able to walk outside with his walker and start his truck. He hasn't been outside for quite a while, I think. So, all right. Continue to pray for both Lee and Pat. And Eugene Weidenbach, I talked to him yesterday. He has had a difficult week. So just be remembering Eugene and Lorraine in your prayers. And the last thing I had then was Ann Ramos had texted me this morning that her dad, Leroy Seiler, he did pass this morning about 3 o'clock. So just be praying for the family, Marge, his wife, certainly, and the rest of the family during this time. So any other joys or concerns over here? Taylor. Today, I think I got, is Roger Heckenleibel's birthday. Happy birthday, Roger. Yeah, God bless you. Yeah. Trish.
My Uncle Pete, his Uncle Reno, is not doing well.
Okay. Okay. Prayers for Reno Mettler. He's actually in the care center at Freeman, right? The full care center? Yeah. Reno is not doing well, so prayers for him. Okay. Over here. Jackson. Okay, so All right, yesterday was little Elora Wilcoxon's first birthday, and she's very excited about it, I can tell. And Amanda's mom, Connie, is flying back to Pennsylvania or Ohio? Yeah, tomorrow, so safe travels. And Greg is not feeling well today. All right, pray for that. Also, the girls, Menno girls, play region basketball this Tuesday night here at Menno, 7 o'clock, so we pray for them and support them. They've had a pretty decent year. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these things mentioned, birthdays, Roger's today, and Elora's yesterday, and probably others that were not mentioned, but we lift them to you and thank you for each of their lives. As we look at Elora here and see her bouncing around, it just brings joy to our hearts, Lord, as she had a pretty rough start a year ago. But you are faithful. We thank you for watching over Josh and Amanda and Elora and Aria. We pray for healing for Greg. We pray for Connie as she flies back to Pittsburgh tomorrow. And thank you for this time that she's been able to be here with them. Lord, for the improvements of Les Melhoff, we just thank you for that and pray that that continues. We lift up Lee and Pat Palmerville both, and Eugene Weidenbach, Lord. Many more listed in our bulletin here, names. We lift them before your throne who are in need of your healing touch. Thank you for Jim Sattler, who received a good report this last week, Tuesday, I believe it was, and we just praise you for that bit of good news. Father, we want to pray for Marge Seiler and the family, and even Travis here today as a nephew. And Lord, at Leroy's homegoing went seemingly pretty fast to us. And Father, we know that he's with you. Your word says to live is Christ, to die is gain. And we know he's free from pain. As Ann said, he can see again. And see you, Jesus, most of all, and he's healed and whole. But we ask for comfort to this family during this time, Heavenly Father. For the girls' basketball, Lord, just help them to do well at Regions this Tuesday night and beyond. And thank you for the abilities that you give to them and talents in that way. Again, Lord, we thank you for such beautiful weather here that we've been blessed with. And we want to lift our nation to you, Lord. As always, we pray for our president and vice president. We pray for our congressmen and women. Lord, move there mightily by your Spirit, Heavenly Father, that we can be as our nation was founded to be, one nation under God, as our nation was founded upon your word. Help us to return to that. We thank you for the freedoms we enjoy, and we are truly blessed beyond measure. And help us not to take that for granted. Lord, for our military serving abroad and at home, all the men and women, thousands of them, you know them each by name. We pray your hand of protection upon them as they serve, and we thank you for each of them, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, before we receive our offering this morning. The Apostle Paul said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." And number one, that's our salvation. Number one and important of all, he gave up the glory of heaven, came to live on this earth and go to the cross. Become sin for us. Let's receive our tithe and offering this morning. Thank you.
blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your great plan of redemption. Thank you for Jesus, that though you were rich, you became poor. You emptied yourself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in a flesh and blood body, so that you could take our place. And we are blessed beyond measure as we live in you, Jesus, for it is in you that we live and move and have our being. And so we give our offerings to you this day. This is part of who we are, and we worship you in this way. And we ask you to bless these gifts for the work of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And we'll have our baptism now, if J.R. and Chandra want to come with the kids, and William and Rachel Massey, if you want to come. They're the sponsors here, and Nicole. You guys can stand over here. So you probably know these people, but J.R. and Chandra Van Zyl. Chandra's maiden name is Schultz. Lauren and Karen are her parents. Stuart and Karen. Oops, sorry. Stuart and Karen. How did I do that? I do not know. Sorry, Stuart. Stuart and I are classmates even. Oh my, so we have Hadley, who's 4 and a half, and we have Milena, who will be 2 in April, and we have Rylan here. So, and William and Rachel Massey as godparents. Thank you. I want to read a scripture, and then we'll have our questions. This is from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And so I have these questions that you have answered before, but I'll have you answer them again. And Will and Rachel, you can answer in agreement when I ask for the we do, if you would please. Do you desire to have your child baptized today? And do you understand that through this sacrament of baptism, that we are actually dedicating Rylan unto the Lord? If so, answer, we do. And will you instruct and encourage this child to renounce the powers of evil, to teach her the word of God, so that she may be led to profess Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, answer, we do. And last, do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow with this child in the Christian faith, to help this child to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that she may affirm her baptism If so, answer, we do. Thank you. We'll have a response on the screen here in just a moment. I'll read the first part. The Bible instructs us to diligently teach God's word to our children. Do you, who witness and celebrate this sacrament, promise your love and care to this precious child about to be dedicated to the Lord through baptism as she grows in her knowledge of Christ? We promise. Thank you. And then we have a pledge from Christian Education Committee, Nicole Schaefer.
As a representative of the Christian Education Committee, we pledge to provide an environment within this local church where Rylan can be taught the Word of God, where she can grow up spiritually, and where she can begin to develop a personal and intimate relationship with God as her Heavenly Father, and with Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. We would like to present Rylan and her family with this baptism candle as a remembrance of this special day. We also have a little children's verse Bible to give to her in hopes that her love for God's Word will begin at an early age.
Thank you, Nicole. Okay. Get her head here. So get her turned around. Wait, I don't have her. Okay. Yeah, I know who's got you. Somebody different. Get her situated here. Okay. Rylan K. Van Zyl. As we are here today to dedicate you unto the Lord through this sacrament of water baptism, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful little girl that you have blessed J.R. and Chandra with, to add to her two sisters, Hadley and Milena. We just rejoice with them, Father, in your goodness to this family as we lift Rylan up to you in thanksgiving and praise. Father, so beautifully you have knit her together in her mother's womb, and we know that, and your word tells us so. So, Lord, as she grows, every muscle and cell and tissue and organ in this little body, let her grow according to your will and your plan. Father, let your peace, the peace of God, rule in her heart and her mind. And I pray, Lord, over this family, J.R. and Chandra and the girls, and I ask you to keep them safe. I ask, Lord, that you would give your angels charge over them to guard and keep them in all of their ways, and I thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to bring her down as we do, and you can sing, "Yes, Jesus Loves You," to her. You going to come with me, Hadley? Okay.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you, yes, Jesus loves you, yes, Jesus loves you, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so.
Thank you. The children can come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. There you go.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see you all here today. It's a nice day outside, isn't it? Well, I have a question for you today. Do you ever have a bad day where you think, I am just not good today. I don't feel good. I'm in a bad mood. I think I'm gonna fail today. Do you ever have thoughts like that? Anybody? You know, it's pretty normal. We all have thoughts like that. We don't always think of ourselves or look at ourselves as God does. But do you know what? God's view of us never changes. Does he look at us and say, I think that, Andrew, I'll just use you since I'm looking right at you. I think that you should have a bad day today, and I think you're just gonna fail. Does God think that of you? Never. He does not. He does not think of you. His view of you is what Pastor Mike has been teaching us about who we are in Christ. And so I'm going to ask for, let's see, I need a fourth grader to come here, please. And I need a second grader to come here. And then I'll just use, do you want to be my helper? Okay. So come up. If you're in, okay, who's in fourth grade? Hannah. Come on up. Who's in, did I say second grade or third grade? Second, Trent, and then, come on up. Savannah, right? Nope, Sydney, sorry. Okay, so this is how God sees you, and I want us to get a picture of that, okay? So you're gonna each have a picture frame. Picture frame, picture frame. And I want you to hold that up to you. Hold that up, show them your picture. So this is the picture of all these beautiful kids, right? Look at that. That's how we see them. And do you all have a picture like this in your house on the wall? That's a picture of your school picture? Do you? Or a picture of you? Is it up there on your wall? Yeah, it is. You don't have one of you? I'll have to talk to your parents. Okay. Anyway, at our house, we have pictures of our children. Rachel, her graduation picture, and Nathan, his graduation picture. So this picture is there. And what if I would stick a scripture on these picture frames that say who they are in Christ? Every time you looked at this picture, you would read this verse. So Hannah, you're first.
You read that first verse that you look at the page and read that verse.
I have royalty in my veins and lead with integrity.
And lead with integrity.
1 Peter 2:9.
So this, we could put this on our picture frames at home or in the mirror. It says, I have royalty in my veins. Who lives in us? Jesus, right. God through the Holy Spirit, he lives in us. We have royalty and we lead with integrity. 1 Peter 2:9. So if that was up there on your picture, every day that you walk by this and you said that, you're going to be built up. Because this is what God says about you. Okay, Trent, read yours.
God picked me and wants me to bear fruit, John 15:6.
So if you're looking at the picture frame on the wall and this scripture is up there, you say that every day, guess what? You're going to say that and you're going to believe that's what God says about you. And then if we're
Sydney,
if you're younger, can you read this one for me?
I am a child for God.
of God.
John 1:12.
I am a child of God. You look at that picture every day, you receive that verse, you read it, you're going to believe it. And that's how we build ourselves up. And that's how we learn what God says about us. Because you know what? No matter how much we change about what we say about ourselves or about what other people say about ourselves, God never changes. So I need some helpers up here. I want my first fifth graders. Can you come up? Because you're going to help pass out. All of you are going to get a scripture. You're going to all get a scripture. But when we go, so, all right, you pass out. Okay, if you are in second or third grade, you go to them at the end, and you're gonna pick up one of those. If you are fourth or fifth graders, you can split those. If you are under that grade, if you are 2 years old up until first grade, you get one of those, okay? You can hand him that too, all right? Okay, let's pray though first. Okay, and then you put these on your pictures, all right? Ask your mom and dads to help you. Stick these scriptures on your pictures that are on the wall or on your mirror, and I want you to, I'm going to challenge you to read these every day. And if you have more siblings in your family, switch the verses with each other, and then you'll learn more, okay? Let's pray. Father, we worship you and love you, and we thank you that we are learning who we are in you, all that you've done for us. And we thank you for that, God, that you loved us so much and you want us to know who we are in Christ. You want us to know just how special we are to you, that your view of us, no matter what we do, doesn't change. You love us. Bless these boys and girls and help them to be a light. Help them to be reading these scriptures every day about themselves. Bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And I also have a little treat for you, too.
Okay, thank you, Anne. Uh-huh. Cindy, how about, can we start singing that?
Now, if you're young, go over there. Go over to them.
While the kids are going back, we'll sing number 118, His Name is Wonderful, Jesus Our Lord. 118. His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything, His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. Bow down before love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Thank you, Cindy. Sorry, I was singing the wrong words there part of the time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for Jesus. As Isaiah the prophet said so many years ago, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And you are all of that and so much more. And we thank you now for your word that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word that works effectively within us as your children. Your word that we grow thereby as we desire the sincere, pure milk of the living word of God. And let it be so, Lord, in each of our lives as you help us to be doers of your word. And Father, I ask for you to speak through me by your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 8 is where we're at. We're going to start in verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or sword or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So those who've you're with us all right along, you know we're in this series of who we are in Christ. So this is what I would call a topical series, all right? So topical preaching versus expository preaching. Expository is where we go just verse by verse through it all. Topical, that's what we're doing. We're on this series, Who We Are in Christ. So obviously there's a whole ton of stuff in these 12 verses that I read this morning. We're not going through all that. We're going more towards the end of the passage. And that's what we're looking at. Because how God sees you in Christ, if God is your Father, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, then you are in him. We live in him and he lives in us. And so our first in Christ reality, 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So we learn this, that it's not about me, it's about who I am in him and how he sees me as a new creation. Still in 2 Corinthians 5, we have been made to be the righteousness of God in Christ. It has to be in him because Isaiah tells us that our righteousness, our own self-righteousness, is like filthy rags. It stinks, in other words. But we have been clothed with a robe of righteousness from Jesus Christ. And that's how he sees you. And that's why he hears your prayers. That's why he works through you, because you are in right standing with him. Then we went on, the third one there in Ephesians chapter 2, to see that you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Fourth, we did two Sundays on that in Christ I am redeemed. And that's from Colossians. That's how God sees you. Do we live up to that? We fall far short. That's a positional truth, we call it. In Christ, that's how God sees you. Every one of those things. He says it in his word. Temporal, that's how we walk every day. Yeah, do we always walk like the righteousness of God? No. Do you always walk and talk like we are his workmanship? No. Do we always walk and live like we are redeemed, set free from all the power of the enemy? We don't. But we work towards getting closer and as the Holy Spirit works in us. So the fifth one today is, we are more than conquerors in Christ. More than conquerors. That's what Romans 8, 37 tells us. He says, no, in all these things, and we're going to talk about what are these things. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And again, that's the phrase as you read through the epistles that you watch for. In Christ, in him, if it's talking about Jesus, through him, through whom, watch those phrases and see those verses. They're telling you who you are in Christ. The Amplified Bible, just real quick, it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors, and we gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much that he died for us. So, what are these things then? What are these things that we're more than conquerors in and over? Well, first, I would say, if you're doing your blanks, we are more than conquerors over the accusations from the devil. Over the accusations from the devil. Because guess what? He's called the accuser of the brethren. Satan is called that, the accuser of the brethren, in Revelation chapter 12. He says that. So back to this verse 33, though, of the text, Romans chapter 8. Listen, three times in three verses in a row, he starts out with who. Verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? In other words, his children. Verse 34, who is he that condemns? Guess what? Number one, that is Satan. He's the one that brings accusation against us as God's children. And he tries to do it even before God. He tries to do that. Revelation 12, just real quick, it says, verse 10, for the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them, God's children, before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They, the believers, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That word is God's word. That verse just is talking about what took place at the cross through the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. We overcame him through the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of our testimony. So, back to this again. What are these accusations from the devil? These things that he said, you are in all these things, you are more than conquerors through him, Christ, who loved you and does love you. The accusations of the devil. Well, okay. Look, listen to 33 again. I'll read more of that verse. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Satan tries to do that. The rest of the verse says, it's God who justifies. In other words, he's the one that sets you free. He's your redeemer. He is our salvation. He did it. He is the judge God the Father is the judge, and he has already dealt with those charges and accusations that Satan would try to bring against us as believers. God has dealt with that through Jesus Christ and the blood of the cross. Thank God he did. Verse 34, who is he that condemns? It's Satan. That's what he does. Tries to tell you, where's the battlefield? Mostly. Right here. Yep, the battlefield of the mind. There's books written about that. Right here in our thought life. That's where Satan tries to attack. Oh yeah, you think you're going to serve the Lord now? And let's think about all your past. And he brings it up before you. And if we let him, he just pushes us down, 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 and we get so low we can that we think, yeah, man, look what all I've done. How could I ever serve the Lord? How could I ever tell anybody about Jesus? I mean, look at my past. That's what he accuses. Who is he who condemns, brings condemnation to your thought life? It is Satan. What's God saying about you? What would God say to the devil? He'd say, you know what, Satan? That is my child. They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I have cast their sins as far as the east is from the west. The Old Testament says, I have cast them down to the depths of the sea. I remember them no more. Leave them alone. They're my child, my property. Who is he who condemns? It's Satan. The rest of verse 34, what does it go on? It says, Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, he is at the right hand of God. And guess what? He is interceding for us. You know what intercession is? That's a type of prayer. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for you. When Satan would try to come with these accusations and say, oh, they don't deserve to be saved. They don't deserve to be used by you, God. Yeah, do we deserve it? No. We didn't deserve any of it. But because of God's grace and love and mercy, he has placed us in Christ and sees us as all these things, a brand new creation. Isn't that great? When two Old Testament examples, real quick, of when the devil did this. Number one, Job. We probably know that. Job 1 verse 1, it starts out, it says, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. Does that mean Job was perfect? No, he was not, because we're all born with sin. But he was a man trying his best to live for the Lord. And God had blessed him incredibly. And so if we'd read on that passage, it says, there was a time where Satan came before God. And he said, hey, what about this guy named Job? And I'm just going to paraphrase greatly here. But basically, Satan says to God, you know why he loves you, God? You know why Job loves you and serves you? It's because you've put this hedge of protection around him and nobody can touch him. That's why he loves you. But you take that away and he will, it's not curse, but I'll just say, he'll deny you to your face. And God says, go ahead. He allows him then to bring this affliction in Job's life. He says, only do not touch the man himself. And so you know what happened, right? His children, his flocks, his herds, his everything, servants, wiped out just in a day or two or three, just whoosh. Wow. And what did Job's wife say to him in all of this? Job, you might as well curse God and die. That was not good advice that time. Now, I know most of the time, ladies, you give us very good advice. Do the ladies want to say amen? Okay. But that time was not. And Job said to his wife, woman, you're talking like a foolish woman. So we only receive good from the Lord and not evil. And Job kept his integrity, the Bible says. And of course, you know, because of that, in time, God blessed him double to what he had before. So there we see Satan, the accuser, going before God and accusing Job. One other time, we see it there. It's in Zechariah chapter 3, the prophet Zechariah, but it's the blank you got to put in is Joshua. Joshua, Zechariah, because Zechariah lived many, many, a long time after Joshua was on the planet. And Zechariah the prophet is having this amazing vision, dream in the night from God. And this is what it says in verse 1. It says, Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing there at his right side to what? To accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, there's a lot more in it than that, but I'm just giving you two examples where, from Scripture, where we see Satan as the accuser of the brethren, the believers. All right. And you know what? I was working through this song that we had sung way back down at Rhema during my seminary years, and it's called "There's No God as Big as Mine." If you want to Google that and find it, it's really cool. They have their singers and band, and it moves along. But "There's No God as Big as Mine." And listen to some of the words. This is the song. "Well, when your back's against the wall and your mountains seem so tall and the enemy, that's the devil, is quickly closing in, you just hold your head up high. For your redemption, he, Jesus, draweth nigh. And you say, there's no God as big as mine." Second verse, it says, "And when that old devil's talking loud," and he does, we all know it. Boy, he can hammer, can't he? He can hammer hard. "When the devil's talking loud and he boasts himself so proud. And he's telling you all the things he's going to try and do to you. You just look him in the face. You put that old devil right back in his place. You tell him, there's no God as big as mine." And then it goes to the chorus and they sort of get rocking in it. But yeah, because that's what Satan does. He's trying to tell you with whatever situation it is, or you're never going to make it. He's probably trying to tell, and we're reading it in the papers, "Oh, this year's going to be as hard as 2019, and I know the concerns are great and they are valid. I'm not denying that. But guess what? God is greater." We sang that chorus, "He can make a way when there seems to be no way." Or if it's something in the family or a physical attack on the body, whatever it is, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Okay, what else? Letter B. What are these things? The troubles and trials of life. What's verse 35? This is your third who, right? I told you there was three. Verse 33, who's going to bring any charge against those God has chosen? Satan does. 34, who's he that condemns? Satan is. If you'd go back to the first verse of chapter 8 of Romans, you know what that says? There is therefore now no, what? Anybody know? Right. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There it is again. Okay? Who's he who condemns? Satan. Third who? Sounds like Dr. Seuss, doesn't it? In Whoville or something. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? And here's the troubles and trials of life. Look, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. The answer is no. No, none of these things. I talked last Sunday a little about Haiti and the poverty that is there, but yet the people that are Christians, their love for the Lord and the expression of their praise to Him is so great. Those kids, the teachers there at the school tell us that that breakfast and the lunch, those mercy meals, what we packed here, that is generally, most generally, the only two meals they have a day. Many times at home, there is no food. But yet they come and they just come to worship the Lord and sing His praises. No, nothing, nothing. Paul, who wrote Romans? God used the Apostle Paul. Who wrote 2 Corinthians? God used the Apostle Paul. He could speak from experience on all of these things, seven things listed there. Trouble, hardship, persecution, on it goes. Listen to what he says here in 2 Corinthians 11, 23, talking about his life, serving the Lord. 5 times I received 40 lashes, that's whippings, from the Jews minus one. So how many is it? 39. You know why they stopped at 39? Because they were so religious. They didn't want to dare go to 40 in case they miscounted, because their law said 40 times you could do the lashings. They could do the lashings, even to Jesus, God Himself, 39. They didn't want to go to 40 in case they missed, and they might actually accidentally sin and give 41. See the hypocrisy in that? 5 times, Paul said, from the Jews I received 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, spent a night and a day in the open sea. Listen, this is all what he's saying in this passage. I have known hunger and thirst, and often gone without food. I have been cold. I have been naked. I have been in constant danger from bandits in the city, in the country, from rivers and at sea. You ought to read that passage. And yet he says in verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen. You are, and that's why it's so important for us to know who we are in Christ, because boy, there can be some doozies that come against us in this life. We all know it. We walk through them together many times as we pray, especially if it's physical things coming against us, but it could be financial. They're endless. But when we know who we are in Christ, we face these things strong. I think I probably shared this years ago, but it always comes to my mind here. When my parents, after they left Menno way back in 1985, moved down to Neely, Nebraska, where my dad pastored for 12 years. That was when we were with the Navajos all that time. And there was a dear lady in that church, a grandma, who... because we shared a little bit there too about our work when we'd come back. And she'd send support a little bit now and then. One time I went back and her adult daughter had been diagnosed with cancer, forget what kind. And I prayed with her that day. And I don't know, was it a year later or what, this adult daughter did die of that cancer. And when we would come back and I'd say to my dad, where's so-and-so today? I didn't see her at church and I haven't heard from her for a while in a letter or anything. He said, well, Michael, after her daughter passed away, she has never come back to church since. And that really made me sad. And for the rest of the years there of my parents, that held true. Now, I can't speak for after that. But what happened there? She was bitter towards the Lord. I've seen it happen other times over the years. Why would God do that? Why didn't He answer my prayers? He did. He did. Just not how we think they should have been answered, right? No, we like Job said to his wife, "Woman, you're talking like a foolish woman. You only receive blessings from the Lord and not hard times." No, God is faithful. He is faithful. And in Him, we walk through these. Yeah, do they rock our world at times, these trials? Yeah. Do they take time to get through? Oh, yeah. But we rest in Him. What Psalm 91 just comes to mind too. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I love that psalm, right? He shall give His angels charge over you to guard and keep you in all of your ways. Under His wings you shall take refuge, for His truth and His buckler, they are your shield. I'm not quoting it exactly right. And so we live in Him as that new creation. You live in Him as the righteousness of God. You live in Him as His workmanship. He's still working in you every day if you work with Him. We live in Him as redeemed, rescued and delivered from the bondage of sin and the tyranny of the devil. And we live in Him as more than conquerors in this world in which we live. Wow, are we blessed? We are so blessed. So learn those, okay? Learn them. Remember last Sunday I said if I called you up someday and say, give me 5 things of who you are in Christ, could you do it? I might have to try that. Learn them. You got the outline right there. And you turn it into a praise to the Father. You thank Him. Just use this as praise. Thank you, Lord, for each. And you list them that you have made me to be. Is that bragging? No, because it has nothing to do with you and what you've done. It's in Him. It has everything to do with who He is and what He has done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your amazing, amazing blessings that you've given us in Christ. Help us to live that way, to walk that way in our lives, which will bring praise and honor to your name, in Jesus' name. Guess what? I realized I forgot to give you the last blank, didn't I? Persuaded, letter C, that was the last verse. I got to read it to you quick. Cindy, you can come. Verse 38, for I am persuaded, New King James says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I got to just finish this real quick. You know why you're more than a conqueror? Are you better than Jesus? No, of course not. We could never compare to Him. But guess what? Did you have to go to the cross and become sin? No, you couldn't, because you already are sinful and so am I. Did you go to hell and defeat the devil on his own territory? No, Jesus did it all. And so as we live in Him, we are more than conquerors in Him. Amen? All right. Before we get a second sermon, I guess we better sing our last hymn. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. And all that chorus says, let's stand. Sing it out loud. Cindy, step it up a little, okay? All right. Because He lives. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus, He came to love, heal and forgive, He bled and died to buy my pardon, and empty grave is there. Savior lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives, all fear is gone,
and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know. Life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day, across the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then there's his way to victory. I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful singing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have a wonderful day. Remember Wednesday night, Ash Wednesday service at 7. Please, please come.